Within the SETI community, there has always been an idea lurking in the shadows that often gets lost in the discussion or left out completely for various reasons in favor of searching for distant radio signals and other technosignatures. That idea is the notion of a close technosignature, even though it's fully plausible that at some point in the past, probably the distant past if it happened, an alien civilization may have passed through this star system and left evidence of itself behind. This could be intentional, meaning that they saw Earth's budding biosphere and left something just in case a technological intelligence ever arose on this world. Or unintentional, as discarded trash or other evidence. The problem is that any evidence of that on Earth almost certainly would have disappeared long ago, because Earth weathers everything, or subducts it, and it's far more likely that if anyone had ever visited Earth, it happened millions of years ago or more, rather than recent enough for any real, tangible evidence to have survived. But the fact is, we do have an environment in the solar system where that evidence would have been preserved almost indefinitely, and it is the surface of the moon. Other than the so-called lunar gardening, which is the constant flow of micrometeorites that rain down upon the moon and garden it, so to speak, there is little else, to the point that it would take over an estimated 100 million years to erase an astronaut's footprint on the lunar surface. A piece of technology such as the Apollo lander possibly may last even longer, and in the case of a deliberately designed and placed piece of alien technology, potentially far longer, especially if it's buried and protected by the lunar soil. There, such a thing might be visible as an outline that you go explore and dig up, much like we do with archaeological sites on Earth that are invisible on the ground, but can be discerned from the air. This idea was famously explored by Arthur C. Clarke in his short story, The Sentinel, which was later greatly expanded by Clarke and Stanley Kubrick as 2001: A Space Odyssey, and its sequel, 2010, and the book versions and further sequels by Clarke. The idea in 2001 was just this concept, a favorite of mine because Clarke managed to make a rectangular block spooky just by storytelling, and even going so far as to give it the proportions of 1, 4, 9. This, of course, was a monolith buried on the moon, only to be discovered and excavated by humans after noticing a magnetic anomaly associated with a crater, only for it to emit a signal to someone out there that the humans had progressed enough to find the object. But in this idea of searching for close technosignatures on the moon, there is a somewhat daunting problem. Just where to look? This was the case for both the short story and the movie and novel, but with major differences in the two. The short story simply acted as a seed that Clarke had written years before. The moon very possibly will be key for discovering any alien life, and not just possible artifacts left on its surface. The best place to locate a SETI-capable radio telescope is the far side of the moon, specifically because the bulk of the moon will quite effectively block out almost all human radio interference, leaving the entire radio spectrum wide open for searching, a huge problem in radio SETI as it stands. Ideas for this range from using the natural bowl shape of a crater to construct the radio telescope, an idea already done with radio telescopes on Earth, such as the former Arecibo dish, which took advantage of a natural depression in the hills of Puerto Rico. There are even ideas out there on how to deploy a radio telescope in such a crater remotely, without the need for humans to go there and construct it. Interestingly, once human interference is mitigated by such a telescope, vast frequencies that are currently mostly useless for SETI because of interference open up, as does a level of sensitivity that current ground-based telescopes, as sensitive as they are, simply cannot search effectively. But the moon also boasts the possibility of artifacts from past visitors. Interestingly, if nothing is ever found, that in itself is telling, because it lowers the likelihood, at least a little, of anyone ever having passed through. Granted, it does not solve the Fermi paradox, but if we searched all long-lasting, non-weathering surfaces of the solar system's moons and never find anything, coupled with searching the asteroids, especially in regards to seeing if they were depleted of specific metals, that would make the Great Silence even more silent. But here's the problem. That is an enormous amount of real estate to search. One problem is the size of the artifact. So the monolith was relatively large by the dimensions Clarke gave, which interestingly, there was an apparent math error between Clark's physical measurements of the monolith and the ratio he gave. But that may not be the case for alien technology. It's possible that it could be nanotechnology just sitting defunct on the surface of the moon, basically as a dust grain. It's highly unlikely anyone would ever find that, nor is it likely that something like that would be intentionally placed, unless the moon is quite literally covered in nanotechnological robots. Given that several countries have returned lunar samples and nothing like that has ever been seen through the microscope, it's probably not there. But for larger artifacts like our monolith, the story is much different. But the problem is that it's basically impossible for a human, or even a group of humans, to search all of our vast collection of images of the lunar surface for evidence of a technosignature. Key here is an image set taken by NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which was launched in 2009. This instrument has taken many thousands of high-resolution images of the lunar surface, most of which have never been manually reviewed by human eyes to look for technosignatures. What can do it, however, is modern artificial intelligence. AI has revolutionized data sifting, and did so long before the current AI chatbot craze. You can set a specialized AI to sift the LRO dataset with training to look for anomalous features that may be technological in origin, and oddly, it may do it even better than a human ever could, despite the human brain's astounding ability to see patterns. But the brain also suffers from seeing patterns that aren't actually there, a phenomenon known as pareidolia. The AI doesn't have that problem, at least in the same way, and can look for anything that deviates from the norm in its training without human bias or optical illusions. And it may even see things that a human might not necessarily notice, but it comes with its own issues, more on that in a bit. The AI here already exists and has already found some anomalies, but nothing that looks alien. What it did find were previously unknown holes in the moon that represent collapsed lava tubes that open to space as a kind of skylight. These are of great interest in exploring or colonizing the moon because they offer natural protection for any kind of outpost in that they give a large amount of radiation protection, but also thermal protection against the moon's absolutely insane temperature differences, which are hundreds of degrees difference between the lunar day and night. Another thing it is able to identify are fresh impact craters. We need to know what sort of risk there is on the lunar surface from impacts for any future missions to the moon, though the lava tubes will also offer at least some protection from that as well, unless it's a very large impact. But those, we know, are very rare. But even small meteorites pose a risk because the moon has no atmosphere to slow them down or burn them up before impact. Even still, meteorites have been known, including one recently, to hit houses and cars and literally punch through. Not good for a sealed space outpost. Another thing the AI noticed were features of the Apollo landing sites. As an aside, that is yet another nail in the coffin for the "we never went to the moon" conspiracy theory that was so popular in previous years. That was actually a non-starter from the get-go, because the Soviets rather proudly tracked the Apollo missions to and from the moon when they happened, and they would have been the last people to have colluded with the US government on a conspiracy. Indeed, they'd have called it out. But more recently, India imaged the areas of the landers, and not only saw evidence of them, China also claims to have seen them more recently, but obliquely photographed the same features in the Apollo photography that would have been absolutely impossible to have known about in 1969 in order to fake it. The AI also flagged weird patch features in the moon's volcanic mare fields. These currently are unexplained, and while are almost certainly geological in nature, it's unclear exactly what caused them. But the AI search remains partial and requires more additional funding, which is private, as all SETI in the US is, to expand out into more of the LRO dataset. Interestingly, it's also possible that this kind of AI might prove extremely useful for a completely different field, lunar prospecting, and characterizing the moon's resources. This kind of algorithm can also be used for radio SETI or optical SETI, and indeed examining the thousands of light curves taken by Kepler and TESS for artificial-looking features and transits. The most famous of those found so far being KIC 8462852, or Tabby Star. Also on the table is examining high-resolution images of Mars and Mercury, and basically any suitable surface in the solar system, once a high-resolution dataset is taken. but just because an AI is less prone to bias than humans, it might still manifest its own biases because of the data set it was trained on. If a bias shows up, then that creates a problem. At the same time, however, the surface of the moon does offer an attractive place to look for evidence of alien technology. Interestingly, by virtue of it falling into our lap, such an artifact would actually provide more information on that alien civilization than a radio signal probably ever could. Actually, more than almost any other technosignatures. Radio communications require a lot of decoding, but technology that you can directly study is a different story. You can look at the materials the aliens used to create it, its mechanics or electronics and so on. It could even be something so simple as a version of what we did with the Pioneer plaques and the Voyager records, and just be a visual representation left by the aliens with the specific intent of being deciphered as easily as possible. It's even possible that it might resemble our plaques, in that we relied on things like a representation of hydrogen, and our location in relation to nearby pulsars. Things that are in common with scientific knowledge aliens would also know. Aliens might visually represent the same things, and they may do it very simply, by just using the lunar regolith to make a huge concrete block with a representation inscribed on it that would last again for over 100 million years. If they went full-on monolith with it and made it perfectly rectangular or something of that nature, faced the inscription downward and made it sufficiently thick to hold off the lunar gardening process, they might be able to make their message last for far longer. Or it may simply be discarded technology. This we do ourselves. We litter space with our discarded technology all the time. And aliens may well do that as well. And there is always the possibility of an unintentional artifact of some sort, of an interstellar nature, that hit the moon at some point and spread fragments of itself all around a crater it formed. In any case, it's an interesting idea that the solution to the Fermi paradox may possibly lie just next door on the moon, a possibility Arthur C. Clarke realized decades ago. And now, the search has begun. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently concerned about the trash the aliens could be littering the cosmos with, just like we are. It's fully plausible that the aliens may have left other evidence, other than technology, that while it certainly would tell us about alien biology, and it's something we did ourselves, I think it would be one biosignature perhaps too far. But I guess any evidence is good evidence, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channel for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.